Hey everybody, the show's about to begin, but before we get started, here are some words from our newest sponsors.
No matter what you do in the bathroom to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. They have amazing shower stuff, hair styling products, toothbrushes, and toothpaste, and of course, razors and shave supplies.
I use these products every day, George. The Amber and Lavender Body Wash is how I start my morning off. I get my body all nice and smooth, and then I switch over to the Big Cloud Good Shake Hand Cream. I love that stuff. But that's how I get ready. You're not me. You have to have your own way to get ready. You might shave your whole body to get ready for a bike race. Dollar Shave Club's Executive Razor and Shave Butter can help with that. You might do your hair to get ready for a soccer match. Boogies by Dollar Shave Club can help with that. It can get your style on point. The thing is, no matter what you do to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything you need.
And right now, you can get ready with an amazing deal on any one of their starter sets. I recommend the Daily Essentials starter set because I love Amber Lavender Body Cleanser. That's right. I love it. But you can't go wrong with any of them. Head over to thedollarshaveclub.com/junkie to pick up your own DSC starter set for just $5. After your starter set, products ship at a regular price. And make sure you check out their new video, too. That's dollarshaveclub.com/junkie, dollarshaveclub.com/junkie.
This is your captain speaking. We are making our descent into Las Vegas McCarran Airport. On behalf of our crew, we'd like to thank you for flying MMA Junkie Airlines. Now please fasten your seatbelts and put your tray tables in your upright position because the descent is going to be a little bit bumpy.
All right, Junkie Nation, it's time to roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. All night long, we rollin'! Yes!
The MMA Junkie Radio revolution is upon us.
Can you dig it?
There's no escape. No escape. Through the vast frontier of cyberspace and through a sea of stars in outer space.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
We've solidified our combat communication stranglehold.
We are controlling transmission.
With the use of MMA Junkie Radio and Sirius XM satellite radio technology.
MMA Junkie Radio. Commence transmission.
Live from MMA Junkie Radio HQ in the fight capital of the world. Las Vegas, Nevada. Here are your hosts, Gorgeous George and Goz.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you are listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goz, our East co-host. To my left, it's the fight analyst, Dan Tom. Producing back east, as always, Danny Otto, and our special co-host for the day, Axis TV Fight CEO, Andrew Simon. What's up? Oh, sporting the Jets.
New York Jets, J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets.
3-3, right?
We're 3-3.
3-3, all right.
You like Sam Darnold so far?
You know, I like anybody that has us 500. That's about as good as the Jets.
I can't figure the team out and the quarterback out. First of all, week one, first pass ever in the NFL. Yeah. I think he got picked. taken to the yard, right?
Yep.
Then he comes back and puts up like 49. So I was like, oh, okay, he shook it off, you know, but. Then I think they went to 1-3 or 1-2, and all of a sudden they're winning again. So I can't figure that guy out. I'm happy for you guys, and I'm happy for him, because 3-3 is a good start for a rookie campaign. But the whole thing I keep hearing is Saquon Barkley. Hopefully I said his name right. Oh, the Giants fucked up. They should have taken Darnold and not Barkley. But Barkley's pretty legit.
Yeah.
You know, and they still had Eli, and they could maybe get another year out of Eli, because they're not winning a Super Bowl. But people are saying that New York team messed up and they should have taken Darnold. And I don't know. I don't know. You know, I'm glad I'm not an NFL GM because I would have went. I like the Barkley pick.
Hey, man, the Jets, I mean, we had 7 field goals last week, too, which was almost an NFL record.
Did you?
Yeah. So they were putting up points, but could have put up another 40-plus points on the board. They were just settling for a lot of field goals, but still took it. But my main thing is I've had a bet for over 20 years with one of my friends who has a better record, the Broncos or the Jets. Ooh. So finally getting a full game on them last week where the Jets beat the Broncos felt very, very good.
How much is that bet for?
It's only $50 a year, but I'm paying his kids' tuition at this point. It's been about $1,000 over 20 years. Yeah, I've been losing for quite a long time, so it felt pretty good. I feel pretty confident this year that the Jets smoked the Broncos, meaning the Broncos team. Again, I have no illusions that the Jets are winning the Super Bowl, but they are better than the Broncos, which feels pretty good. Your callers could call in and give us their opinion on that one later, but I feel pretty good that the Jets are better than the Broncos this year.
I have nothing to say. Even though my Niners played pretty good this past week, we're terrible. And our star quarterback is out for the year. The backup, who I thought is terrible, has actually been playing okay. What could have been, man?
Had a nice pass last
week.
We
had a lot of injuries, but every team's got injuries. So you can't really use that excuse, you know. Teams just figure it out. Look at Philly. They lost Carson Wentz last year.
Yep.
And they went with Nick Foles, and they could have easily said, oh, my God, it's Knowles against Nick Foles against Tom Brady. I don't like our chances. And instead, they stuck it to New England, and they're the world champions. So that's why the whole injury thing, I try not to let that come out of my mouth much, because I just don't like that excuse.
There you go.
Yeah, all the teams.
Well, Colin Kaepernick's out there somewhere too. If we want to get controversial, you could always bring him back. Maybe he'll help your 49ers a little bit. You know.
Oh boy, yeah, that one. Oh man, that's.
If any city was going to accept them, it's the 49ers.
The minute that name comes out,
yep,
you just don't know whether to get into it or leave it alone or what.
All right.
But yeah, that dude. What can I say?
Well,
back in 2012,
that's a whole different show. We don't have to go there. But
back in 2012, I really liked that guy. I liked our future, and he did win playoff games for us and took us to Super Bowl. And then after that, wow, just a fall from grace, you know. And now, of course, everything, all these other controversies. By the way, guys, have you seen a lot of kneeling this year?
I've seen
a little
bit
here and there. Not as much as last year.
Yep.
Okay. And are those guys getting fined or suspended? Not suspended, but fined or
no.
So it's kind of done. You can practice free speech if you want, and it's over, right? Start the game, and we're all done with that whole thing.
It looks like free speech is back in the NFL. You know, that's good. And, you know, we don't need to go there.
No, let's go there.
No. That's a two-hour show. But
No. I swear to God, we'll make it quick.
Yep.
One argument I've always heard, I don't want to talk about the troops and the flag, and I just want to talk about one thing.
Yep.
People always say, if I were to do that at work, blah, blah, blah. Technically, has work started if the clock's zero?
Yes.
It has?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because you're wearing the colors of the team.
And you're signed to a contract.
Sure.
Right. But
so I guess once you walk into the office building,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
So that once the season starts and you walk in, you're pretty much under contract. I mean, I think.
You're at work.
Because the coach at one point on Sunday goes, hey, great game. We'll take Monday off. Come back on Tuesday. And they all cheer when they have a day off. So do you have a day off? Like, do you punch out, you know, once the game's over? You see what I'm seeing? That little definition. One thing I didn't like about it was I want my quarterback to be so in tune with the game that these distractions of interviews and why are you doing it and taking away from the team, that's what I didn't like. But him practicing free speech didn't bother me so much. But it's just that the quarterback always has to be, like I say, in tune and –
But it's no different in MMA. You have some athletes that go and say some outrageous stuff and say outrageous things about other people's countries and religions and go out there and they still perform. So,
do you consider that free speech?
I consider that selling a fight. I mean, listen, if you look back on the old days, Ali selling fights and driving a bus up to people's homes and going outside and calling them every name in the book, whether racially insensitive
Habib
or not.
Habib says, though, don't bring religion and politics, family or whatever, but he's saying, don't do it. But in America, we can say whatever we want.
True.
Yeah, but so, you have to live with the ramifications that are coming
afterwards. Right. And that's why I respected for Conor for not pressing charges. Kind of like, all right, a fight broke out. I did get stolen, but no charges. I did something in Brooklyn. I feel like the fighters almost, you know, they'll have to deal with, I guess Conor's, he's already been taxed with whatever his suspension and fine, if there was one, is going to happen in New York. Habib will have to live with NSAC. I'm just wondering if the UFC will finally actually say something or just move on to the next fight.
Oh, they're just going to move on.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to move on. And
do we have a problem with that? Does anybody?
They're starting to be consistent.
It's the fight game.
They're starting to be consistent with it's the fight game.
Yeah.
So once they do that, then all right. But if they're going to flip-flop, like say Derek Lewis says something stupid next week and they come down on him, that's not going to make sense.
Are we going to talk about that fight, by the way?
Cormier and Derek Lewis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, should we start now?
Sure.
Okay. So Derek Lewis gets suspended for 30 days.
I know.
Then, it goes magically, down to 21. It goes to 21 because he had a fight scheduled. But he's not allowed to have any contact training for how long is it? 21 days?
Something like that.
So he's not allowed to train for the fight. He wasn't even supposed to fight. But now he's allowed to fight with no training. And Cormier says he has a finger if it doesn't work. That's messed up.
He said
and
he couldn't even make a fist.
Can't make a fist, so he can't train. And so is the New York State Athletic Commission going to take a look at this and put
very
a last
strict
minute,
commission too.
Right, put a last minute wrench in it that publicly Cormier's going out there saying he can't make a fist. Derek Lewis wasn't even allowed to train under Nevada, under their restrictions. So I'm just fascinated. I mean, that stuff, it just makes the commission suspensions look like a joke. I mean, so you're suspended unless they need to fight. It's kind of like USADA.
Now, I think I did read something where the commission said everybody, for years, you have been allowed to appeal your 30-day suspension.
Sure.
It's just that no one does it. So could it be that someone just read the fine print and said, well, let's just say this. Are you guys good to go? And we're all grown men here, and if everyone's good to go, then we're good to go. We have a show?
Well, listen, I love Derek Lewis.
Because I want to just take away from the shadiness.
He was great. Derek Lewis is awesome, and I love him, and I want him to make all the money in the world. The guy says, I'm not ready for a title shot. Number two, he's suspended because he lost the whole fight until the final punch. I mean, he got beat up for three rounds? I think it was three rounds till the last, few seconds or 11 seconds, whatever it was. But he got beat up, which is a reasonable, hey, take 21 days off. You took a pounding in the heavyweight division. Take a month off with no contact. And instead, let's shorten it and let's let you go take another fight with the champion that you said you're not ready for, who can't make a fist. So again, it's just so interesting to me. Again, I'm telling it like it is. I'd love to see them both fight, but it's like clearly neither of them are feeling too good. Probably
the scenario that I think the fans are used to is at the end of a fight night, just say Vitor Belfort walks in the back and says, "I'm having trouble closing my fist," and they say, "All right, 60 days." But he could go to the doctor and them just say, oh, it's just a sprain, not a handbrake, mm-hmm. and then they reduce that. In Derek Lewis's case, the doctor looked at him and said, wow, you just got beat up. I don't think you should be taking any punches for this amount of time. That doesn't change. They don't see him a week later and go, you know what, I watched the fight again, and he did a little better than I thought. That doesn't change. So that's what's so weird about the whole thing.
The heavyweight punches weren't that tough. Twice you walked away and almost mm-hmm. turned your back, but it's cool. Let's get you back in there.
And, those were eye pokes, to be fair.
They weren't eye pokes.
Yeah, one of them was an eye poke. I know clearly one of them was an eye poke because Herb Dean had to be, talked into it. In fact, I think he admonished Lewis in between rounds, don't do that again.
I don't remember.
He did get pummeled. He did get pummeled, but I remember
the second
one
time
walk
he
away
turned
was,
and it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But either way, I understand your concern, and I'm on board. Like, that just seems like that's the UFC's bad for not having something else.
Yeah.
I don't know why they have to give New York these incredible cards.
Because it's MSG.
It is,
and
but
people
MSG's
have
got,
that. They have that.
I guess it's the price point.
Yeah, yeah.
But
and it costs
I would
a ton.
Think that you could look yourself in the mirror when you can go, we tried. We tried. We gave you
Tapping
Diaz
here,
and Poirier, Shevchenko. Yeah, Vegas is a high market as well, and there's been times where
LA,
cards fall apart.
LA's gotten destroyed.
It's the union at MSG that if you shoot television out of there, it's quite expensive. So shooting TV and going live from there adds a whole multiple of costs.
I get that. It's okay, so maybe we take a small loss here or whatever loss here, but they're coming off a huge win.
Yeah.
Nobody what I mean?
Likes losses, and you have big debt service to pay, and
right.
What do you know about TV, Andrew?
I'm just telling you from my perspective. Obviously, the big talk in the pro wrestling world is they're doing this show out of Madison Square Garden during WrestleMania. That Ring of Honor and New Japan are doing a show during WrestleMania week at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, yeah?
Originally, WWE tried to stop it, and then there were some legal wranglings behind the scenes because it was WrestleMania week, but WWE doesn't want to go from MSG because it's really expensive to do shows.
They're in New Jersey, right? WWE.
They're going to be at Barclays and in New Jersey, I believe. We'll have to take a look, but they're definitely going from Barclays, where they like to go now more often because MSG is too expensive to run for television. So, New Japan and Ring of Honor are going out of there, so it's interesting because they'll capitalize on WWE being in the tri-state area for WrestleMania week, and it's a huge win for them. but yet it's quite expensive to operate out of Madison Square Garden.
You ever been to a WrestleMania?
I have been to a WrestleMania. I'm trying to think where I went, because I've been to WrestleMania, I've been to SummerSlam, I've been to the Super Bowl.
One WrestleMania?
One WrestleMania.
What city?
I'm trying to think back. It must have been in New Jersey.
Have you done a Royal Rumble?
Have I been to Royal Rumble? No.
So I've done WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, but I've never done Survivor Series and SummerSlam. And I want to do that before I die.
I did SummerSlam. I went with Chiavello, I think, the SummerSlam at the Staples Center. We went because CM Punk gave us tickets for that one, of all people, way back when.
Mm-hmm. You mean the MMA guy?
What's that?
You mean the MMA guy?
The MMA guy, CM Punk. He once wrestled in that WWE thing. And so we did that. And I'm trying to think. I used to go all the time to the Thomas and Mack when I used to work for Cox Communications out here. Mm-hmm. And we used to work with WWE. So I'd go to all those shows back in the Thomas and Mack for Monday Night Raw and all those shows. It's interesting. If you ever go to those shows, it's like you get a whole different view of the production. Because on TV, you know, what's so interesting, let's just say Randy Orton walks out, but then he'll stand in the ring like with his music playing for 4 minutes, just like posing because they went to commercial break. And it's so awkward, you know, like it in real time when you're in the arena, you know, like a guy's walking out, he just has to like entertain the crowd for 5 or 6 minutes till the next person walks out. So it's kind of funny when you're there for a live taping because it's all about TV at that point and, you know, a little bit different.
I want to say something about New Japan Wrestling.
Go ahead.
Do you remember back in the day, Dynamic Fastener, when they were sponsoring everyone?
Yes,
and you would see it over and over, and finally you'd say, enough! And you would Google it.
Right.
That happened with New Japan Wrestling. So many people, I've caught little bits and pieces here and there, but so many people just pound social media with how awesome it is. And I went to the Long Beach show, and it was great, and this and that I finally just sat down and said, I'm doing the whole show. And it was pretty cool. And
Thank you, man. That's great.
I think that's something I might have to start getting into.
New Japan, I'll point you to some of the best stuff. You know, Ed Suarez from LFA is calling me right now as we're on air. I don't. Maybe it's breaking news. I'll check during the break.
Speakerphone.
but, yeah, New Japan is really, you know, their pro wrestling. Here's the thing. Their pro wrestling is the best in the world. Their actual pro wrestling that they put on.
The pure wrestling.
The pure, like, listen, WWE is by far the biggest in the world and has the greatest scope and the best entertainment product out there from a pure spectacle. Nobody does it like WWE. I don't think in MMA or pro wrestling or anything. The show they put on is unbelievable if you go. Like, the amount, the giant screens, the music, fans chanting, putting it all together, they do an unbelievable job. But New Japan has the best pro wrestling in the world. And so it's, you know, when you go and watch the athleticism of these guys, it's unbelievable what they put on and what they do week after week. You know, and then we'll get to it later, but I shot the Women of Wrestling show on Wednesday and Thursday in L.A. at the Belasco Theater, and we're launching that in January with New Japan.
When we come back. Some of the old school wrestlers there. That was
Yeah,
cool.
We had some old school wrestlers there from the GLOW days to WOW. You know, WOW is owned by David McLean, who founded GLOW. It's owned by Jeannie Buss, who owns the L.A. Lakers. Mark Burnett Productions is involved as well with MGM Television. So we shot that on Wednesday and Thursday. We're not going to air it till January because Burnett's folks are putting together unbelievable backstage pieces and vignettes and walkouts and all the other stuff. So the live audience won't get the real feel of what it's going to look like once it's all done, but it's going to be incredible. Mm-hmm. And when you watch these women and what they did last week, I think everybody's going to be really impressed. It's like a whole different level. Tessa Blanchard was there, and I was, you know, looking at her social media this morning. It's kind of funny. I lost my voice there a little bit and was kind of trying to make sure my voice was solid for today. But I take a look at their social, and we finished maybe at 1 in the morning, Friday morning, at, you know, late Thursday night, Friday morning. And then I saw she wrestled, like, Impact Wrestling's pay-per-view over the weekend, Impact Wrestling's taping the next day. Then she went to, like, I don't know, Indiana and wrestled somewhere else, then wrestled a dude somewhere else, all since then, and I'm still trying to get my voice back. Wow. And she's been in 4 or 5 towns, and the schedule of pro wrestlers in general, male and female alike, the schedule they keep up is just unbelievable. I mean, I'm tired just from being there, and I take a look, all of them have wrestled in 5 different cities since last Friday, and I'm like, it's unbelievable that they go town to town, city to city, and truthfully, they don't get paid a ton of money, you know, on the independent scene, so, you know, the love that they have for what they do, I'm honored to be a part of both that and New Japan Pro Wrestling as well.
Are you bringing back the rap?
Oh, yeah, the WOW rap. Old glow rap, and there might be a new WOW rap. And I know one of the women there is a singer with some tunes, and she had some songs that she was going to put in, and I think it really was a huge success, and I'm hoping people like it when we put it on in January.
You know, I've always felt that his secret calling is to be a manager, but the that just always gets beat up. I think he would be really good at that role.
Like Mauro Ranallo.
I'd have to be a heel manager, yeah.
Which, like that Showtime doc with Mauro, where he was the heel manager. He was great.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Was unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
You know,
the whole thing, just whether you want to isolate, you know, his work as a manager, as a 16-year-old, I think he started announcing and then moving into other roles, or whether you want to just talk about him, you know, basically showing the world what he's been dealing with all these years. That was very courageous. So just overall, the documentary was brilliant too.
It really was. And it just shows you the range Mauro has, right? He calls mixed martial arts. He calls kickboxing. He calls the biggest boxing events of all time. He was a wrestling character. I mean, you go across the board, the man can do anything inside the squared circle, combat sports. And I saw that he was looking for a new MMA gig,
Twitter.
In code. I saw him put that out on Twitter.
He's done with Bellator?
That's what he put on Twitter a couple days ago. Oh, he said, I'm looking for a new gig in 2019.
I noticed Mike Goldberg did the last batch. But he did the big San Jose one.
Yeah.
So I just thought, I interpreted it as Mauro was usually their number one, but when he couldn't go, because Goldberg was there in a supplementary role, so I always figured he's their number one, Goldberg's their number two. But when Mauro is tied down to NXT or boxing, then Goldberg becomes the number one. So that's what I thought. But that's the first I'm hearing about this.
Yeah. I mean, he's looking for a new MMA gig in 2019. And, you know, I mean, the man can do anything.
But you're set with Ron Kruk and Pat Miletich,
right?
We're
set with Ron, and we probably can't afford Mauro for, you know, Mauro at this point, you know, where he is. He did such an unbelievable job with us in New Japan Pro Wrestling, did Inside MMA for us. So
I ask respectfully. I think Ron does a great job.
Yeah.
It's just that Mauro at one point was with the network.
Oh, yeah.
And because you brought it up, I wasn't sure if you were teasing maybe a possible announcement.
Oh, no, I'm not teasing anything. Our guys are Ron Kruk and Phoenix and Pat Miletich, and they'll be back this Friday from Texas with LFA 52 as I do my little promos. And
yeah.
Rodriguez
and Gutierrez.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I know. We'll talk a little bit more about that. I feel like I hijacked the show from the open. Usually we're talking about cookies
for
a while.
That's like people like when you come on here.
Hijack all you want, man.
I'm
hijacking. Have a blast. Talk about the Jets.
Well, here's
just
the thing.
Know that before the show's over, you have to take some medicine.
I will.
Okay.
I know where you're going, but I did predict the fight, right?
Oh, my God.
Let's be clear.
Medicine means medicine.
Let's be clear. I knew that was going to come up, but I remember talking about somebody ragdolling and then somebody beating the crap out of him through the whole fight and being quite accurate on the prediction of the fight.
Right.
I bet we're going to the
overall
pay-per-view numbers.
2 billion others also had that prediction across the globe. That wasn't an isolated.
Did you predict that on, what was your prediction for the fight?
I had Habib. I don't know if I was as descriptive as you were,
right.
But I said Habib. I believe he's going to be the winner, and whatever I added to it.
That fight was as clear as can be to me of any fight. Same way when Floyd fought Conor, right? There's some fights where you just go, there's no other outcome. There's just not another outcome. The whole, you know, coming up, Mayweather wants to fight Khabib. That'll never happen, number one. Let's be
but
clear.
But that's what we said about Conor and
well,
Floyd.
If that happens, then let's just bet all of our home mortgages, anything we could find.
Conor, though,
any dollar.
Anything attached to Conor is a live dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Khabib versus Floyd, that does sound way out there.
You know what I was listening to, I think Meltzer this morning when I went for my run, and one thing they brought up was Tyron Woodley taking on Khabib, and I thought that would be interesting.
Champ versus champ.
Champ versus champ, and who would you take? Because I have an opinion on that one.
All right, let's start. Dan, you got an opinion on Woodley versus Khabib?
Woodley versus Khabib. I would think the odds makers would favor Woodley,
mm-hmm.
not by a wide margin. Something under, no higher than -200. Probably I'd say in the -150, -170 range, and that's probably how I would see it. Both guys, as good a wrestler as they are, as lifelong wrestlers they are, that's just a certain thing that you only can do for a certain amount of time. You know, Andrew, you can give me crap. I have to turn in my analyst card, you know, for picking Connor. But I will say, you know, to George's point, who's somebody who was really high on Khabib and felt it was a great play. And I said, hey, put your money on Khabib. Here's when to put your money on Khabib. You wait for the Irish money and the European money to come in. Mine wasn't a confident pick by any means, but at the same time, in my defense, no one out there was talking about Khabib in the third rounds. No one out there was talking about it realistically, unless, like, non-Conor fanboy was talking about Conor's underrated wrestling. And we saw both those things come to fruition in the fight. But to that point, and not just defending myself to bring that up, it's apropos to the Woodley-Khabib matchup because, again, as good of an athlete, good of a wrestler as Woodley is, there is that theory, you know, if you make Woodley work, he does get tired. Now, if he's in cruise control and he's controlling the fight, that's a different story. He can find places to take his breaks. His power is enough to scare guys off. He's really savvy in there, so he knows how to control and dictate the terms of a fight, which in turn helps dictate his gas tank. But a guy like Khabib is going to make Woodley wrestle. And the thing is Khabib, I still stand by this, is I don't think that his takedown defense is lights out. His top game is lights out. That's what he gets credit for. It's the fact that most people don't understand the grappling game. When we have phenoms like Ronda Rousey, like, these people are unbeatable. And we don't take the time to see holes. But then the Ronda Rouseys get beaten. And then we're all Monday morning quarterbacks then. Just like we're all, you know, praising, oh, my call is right with Khabib now. Then we'll be just as quick to turn when we see all these holes get exposed. And I'm sure we'll talk about this in our daily debate. But Woodley is not amongst that daily debate, so I would still favor Woodley in that fight for sure, especially because Woodley can counter. I mean, you look at Michael Johnson's check right hook. I'll take Woodley's counter right cross any day. Johnson's a 45er now, but mind you, but Woodley is so fast. I still think he could compete speed wise with a guy like Michael Johnson, who's a fast 45er. And Woodley is better counter wrestling. So yeah, I'm Woodley there.
I didn't think of one important factor he mentioned, which was Khabib will force Woodley to use up some of that gas tank. Because Woodley, as of late, just seems like he can figure out whatever puzzle's thrown at him. So I wanted to just go Woodley, pretty easy. Mm-hmm. But that's a good point. Now you start to think about all these different factors. How can the fight go? I don't know. I mean, but it's a fictitious fight for now, so I'll just give you the answer of Woodley. How about you?
Woodley. I have heard of Khabib actually holding down some of the bigger guys at AKA, but I just think he's too explosive, too athletic, and just too powerful. I don't think he can get Woodley down.
I'm with Woodley as well. It's Woodley all around. But then we have to go to Ferguson next, right?
Yeah,
and then
that's too clear cut that Ferguson should be next for Khabib, and Colby should be next for Woodley.
True.
The only thing that can stop those fights from happening is Conor McGregor and GSP. Those names are wild cards, especially the McGregor name. Seems like whatever he wants, he gets. GSP, he's I wouldn't say he's got that platinum Amex like McGregor does, but either way, he's a mover and a shaker, very respected and loved, you know, by the UFC. I know that it didn't sit too well with Dana that he won and didn't defend, but at least he moved on quickly.
Sure.
So, anyway, but that kind of talk, it's fun. It gets me excited, but then I immediately come back down, you know, and say, hey, we can't have that. We can't have that. We need to have it. It needs to be the right spot, like GSP and Anderson.
Right.
Title defenses galore. What's next? You know, we can't find anyone. All right, now we talk about Dallas Cowboys Stadium, 100,000 people. This one would be an epic fight. But as of late, we're just doing it too often, you know.
Sure.
Not to say I don't enjoy the fights or talking about it, but
was Ferguson ready to come back is the question too. Like, when you watched him, did you say, okay?
I thought it was too early.
Yeah.
He was a beast.
I was amazed at what he was able to do.
He was a beast.
It's unbelievable.
And actually, Pettis wasn't bad either. It's just that he just got the top lightweight or one of the top lightweights in the world on that particular night.
But that first kick, you know, you're like, oh, man, he came back to it. You're like, you know, why are you coming back at 6 months? No physical therapy, no anything. He did his own training, and the dude came back like he's Superman. But that first kick when he was kind of limping a little, you're like, oh, boy, you know. And, you know, again, he didn't come back with a warm-up fight like in boxing or something. The dude came back and went against the beast, so.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That was a great fight. That was a great fight.
Yeah.
What do you think of Duke in the corner? Do we praise Duke?
I like that.
I like it. We don't see that enough, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, what I all I know is that Anthony told him my hand shattered, and then Duke stepped in and just said, we'll live the fight another day, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Pretty much.
No other info has come out of that?
Yeah, pretty much said.
Okay, and we were in the second round had ended, right?
Yep.
We were going one more. His gas tank was diminished. He was tired. Same thing. Damaged and tired. So I believe that, yeah, you pack up your tent, fold it all up, and just live to fight another day. Anthony has built up his stock. I don't think anyone can call him a coward or a quitter or anything. He's been a world champion in two different organizations, prized belts. So, yes. Now, because there's a lot of people that are going to immediately say, well, Faber started throwing elbows, you know, and continued in his fights. There's times when it makes sense and when it doesn't. And I think in this one, you were just sending your lamb out to slaughter. Yep. Because Ferguson had turned a corner. Pettis had already given you his best. And so, yeah, I would say it's the right call. And usually I'm one of those where you say, hey, you're here to perform, give it your best, you know, and no matter what, all the way till the wheels fall off. But I think in this case, I'm down. You like that call too?
Oh, yeah.
You guys like that call?
You know, listen, I think, yeah, Duke knows his fighter and said, hey, he's, you know, he's getting beat up out here and got a broken hand. He's not going to win with one hand against him. I think that was it. I think he was looking out for him.
I think it looked like a father-son relationship, really, more than a coach.
Well, he had both Pettis kids, and, you know, he's been watching them for a long time and bringing them up, and I'm sure he said,
refreshing.
Hey. Yeah, it was good to see.
Yeah.
So, you know, going back to medicine and other things, I've only been asking for 9 years, but how do we get rid of that photo that you guys keep putting up from the MMA Awards in, like, 2009?
You don't like it?
Whenever you say I'm on the show, there's this decade-old photo where I look really dweeby in a bad tuxedo that doesn't fit. And, like, you guys have a lot more photos and video over the years. I mean, I know it sounds a little vain, but I think I'm, like, 25 pounds heavier. Like, I look really bad. I feel like I'm much slicker as I aged. Like, is there anything we can do about that?
We can take care of that.
How do we get a new photo? I've asked every time. Like, you know, I'm going to show, like, a photo of you guys, like, when you're 8, if we brought back Inside MMA or something. You
know? I got a photo.
You win. We will change that.
All right. Thank you.
I got a photo thing I'll share with you that'll make you feel better, too.
I appreciate it. Like, somehow that photo, it's like the World MMA Awards, the first show they ever did, I think, in 2009, because I don't think I've even been in the last 5 to 10 years. Like, I'm going, man, how is that photo the classic shot, the one shot? Because normally I think I look okay in photos, and I'm like, that's the one photo. I'm like, what is that shot?
So, all right, we'll work on that.
Getty Images. I'm sure there's thousands of me out there that are just, you know, free to the user, you know.
You're listening to MMA Junkie Radio on SiriusXM's Fight Nation Channel 93. Stay close. We'll be right back. We'll be talking to one of the headliners of the LFA card that takes place tomorrow night. His name is Chris Gutierrez. Stay close. Don't touch that dial.
Injuries forced them to retire undefeated from MMA with a record of 0-0-0. They are Gorgeous George and Goes, and this is MMA Junkie Radio.
I've got a great way for you to keep hearing SiriusXM outside your car. Now, when you upgrade to All Access, you can get the all-new Amazon Echo dot free. So you can bring SiriusXM into your home, get everything you enjoy in the car, plus more channels. You can only hear when you stream at home or on the go. Find out the details at SiriusXM.com/upgrade now. Offer now available in Canada. Andrew Simon, Access TV Fights, a CEO, joining us here in studio. We will be talking about LFA 52, which comes up tomorrow night at the Bell County Expo Center in Belton, Texas. We'll have one of the main eventers from that card, Chris Gutierrez, 9-3-1, on the show at the top of the hour. He'll be facing Ray Rodriguez. Also in a couple weeks, CES 53. Pava versus Gravely. I almost said Pavia. Remember our buddy Ken Pavia from back in the day? He actually texted me.
I was thinking about recently. Him yesterday with Rick.
Exactly, yeah. That will be your headliner. It'll be Dennis Pavia versus Tony Gravely. All right, so my bad, folks. We've had John Howard on quite a few times, and I have a pretty damn good habit of whenever I come across a number, I save it, and I always have it, and I incorrectly assumed that I did, so I'm waiting for PFL to maybe send me that so I can get him on the line and we can talk about that a little bit. But in the meantime, we just got to roll on. And all right, just to put it to bed, Habib and Floyd, where does it end? Does it just go away, or will there still be a couple of exchanges and Dana will throw out a teaser and will this last a few weeks, months, and then we get away from it? Or will it just end when Ferguson and Khabib gets booked.
I think, it'll last a few weeks. Because of what Khabib deals with every year with Ramadan, it doesn't give you that big of a window to be fooling around. And for sure, they're not going to book Tony Ferguson and then with the hopes of him fighting Floyd, because if he loses to Tony Ferguson, the O versus O matchup is gone in boxing. Nobody would want to see that. So I think we'll know relatively soon that that's just dead.
I think it's dead
already
on arrival. I think it's just Floyd throwing out different stuff to get his name out there and have people talk, and he'll end up fighting Pacquiao. I think that's probably the route. I think he's just going to throw out different names to see if people get excited, and if excited enough and somebody were to make a deal for him, great. But he knows, and Khabib knows, you know, number one, it would be a slaughter. I mean, it would be another slaughter, you know. I mean, Khabib's boxing skills are not out of Floyd Mayweather standards, and so it would be not a fun spectacle to watch, and I don't know that people would pay to see it.
Here's a question for you guys. If social media didn't exist, would we even have $4 million pay-per-views, $3 million pay-per-views, $2.4 million pay-per-views these last few years?
I think so. I think we'd look more forward to things like this because we'd have more time on our hands.
Really?
It's more, you amongst your friends talking about it. What are you doing? What are you doing? This type of thing. I think it would still be
it's
there.
It's incredible how
one we did it for Tyson, right?
Or one post can all of a sudden just send these waves. We're all, not just our show, but ESPN's and Fox Sports and, you know, USA Today's, Sporting News. It just goes on and on, and it's, you know, like little ripples all the way to the beach.
What I'll say is this. I do believe that social media helped drive the price up of pay-per-views.
Really?
Yeah, because now you're seeing more of the shove. You're seeing more of the trash talk that you used to wait till you read in the newspaper the next day. Oh, my God, he said this or that. Because it gets you more,
I think it's
even
just
more
inflation.
Excited.
Now. Everything seems to go up. I used to,
that much.
You know, I'm
bucks
a fast food guy. You know, and I used to just $5, McDonald's, $5. Here you go, and I'd get what I wanted. Mm-hmm. Now I'm into like the eights and nines, and sometimes cross over to the tens if, in case I go big or something. Everything just went up though, didn't it?
No, I just think now you get to hear more of the trash talk. You get to see the little gifs of shoves at weigh-ins, all that stuff, as where before you had to wait the next day to read about the newspaper, and then you didn't even really see it, right, unless you maybe ESPN covered it on SportsCenter or something like that. So I think it's helped to drive the price up, but as far as selling more, I mean, we got just remember what Tyson fights were like for us? Mm-hmm. How many people would get together and watch it? We still wouldn't miss it.
Andrew, feel free to not weigh in on this one because you're not a pay-per-view sales expert.
Oh, damn. Oh, it just killed my soul.
All right, so this
killed
is what I
mean. My soul.
This
killed
is what, soul. What I was saying. About 6 months ago, Andrew co-hosted with us. I wish I was looking for it, man. I went through all my own notes.
If the tape doesn't exist, it didn't happen.
Oh,
isn't that what
there.
Trump says?
It's
isn't
there.
That what Trump says about
just,
everything? If you can't visually see it or hear it, it didn't happen.
I just
happen.
Know you went under a million. The three of us, we went at least over a million. And I think we were like 1.1s and 2s and 5s. But I remember you saying under a million. I think it was like 800,000 was your prediction for for Conor versus Khabib.
I'd have to hear it back, I'm sure, in the MMA Junkie audio.
This is pretty light that I'm going right now.
No,
you really
I know.
Don't
I know. I'm not
back.
Taking the punishment too bad here.
Yeah.
I two things. Number one.
Did you know that as we were getting closer, were you like, ooh, I wish I wouldn't have given that number up?
Well, a couple things. You know, Dana ran out with 3 million before the show and said, we're crush it. Then the number now is, what, 2.3 or 2.4 people are talking about.
Yeah.
But who... Again, I come from the cable side of the business and have been there. Those numbers weren't audited that anybody put
the
out.
The number's 2.4, Andrew.
Why? How do you know that?
Because we're
somebody
just going,
told somebody
we're going
told
with
you
the
that?
Standard. We're going with the standard.
Yeah, but
that's
might...
what Meltzer says. We're good with that.
Yeah, that's my point. Again, was it more than 800? Apparently so. But until I saw the payout check that Connor and or Khabib got on their number over X 100,000 pay-per-views. Let's just say they get $5 each, you know, for each sale over 500,000 buys, wherever. That would be the number I would use to audit because that's the number UFC is going to be the most honest about because they're not going to overpay just for fun. So whatever they pay those guys, ultimately on their percentage would be the number I would say is the audited real number. That said, clearly, they crushed it, and again, Connor's presence was far bigger than I thought. So I
and me too. I wasn't close.
On air, I will say I had the number wrong, but I don't believe it did 2.4, 2.5. I don't believe that.
All right,
that's fair.
Well, we can't prove it. So
I'm taking my medicine, but mine's more like a cough drop, right?
Mm-hmm. What'd you say?
I said a little over a million, but not. So
you were off 1.4.
I'm usually an optimist, so I was saying I think it'll be around that Nate Connor region, which is like 1.5. But I think Goz and Dan were like in the 1.1s, 1.2s.
Yeah.
Because I remember I was thinking this was like Price is Right, you know, Rice-A-Roni, and you had said $3, and the rest of us were like at 8 or 9 or something like that.
And you can't go over on Price is Right. Right, you can't bust. I'm just, you know, to your point before when you're talking about in today's day and age of social media and everything else, I mean, the real part is TV ratings were highest when social media wasn't that big, right? The Kimbo Slice fights, the Tito Ortiz fights, those did TV ratings and the 8, 9 million, you know, numbers, and today we're lucky to pull 2 on TV. So, you know, it's kind of one of those pieces that without social media, TV ratings were higher, but it's also a supply and demand. There's so much supply now, you know, you can't necessarily tune into anything. And that was part of it. But I just see a lot of pilfering in the pay-per-view business and other things today. I thought more people would probably find ways to have that unauthorized FBI warning come their way and look the other way and watch it. So if they got 2.4 million people to pay, that's fantastic for the health of the pay-per-view business, which also then takes you to why did Canelo Alvarez just sign this DAZN deal?
DAZN, that's one thing I want to ask you about.
Well, again, his thing will be something similar to like a Howard Stern model. Where Howard ended up, you know, suing SiriusXM later, and he's still there. But my impression from reading the deal is, you know, he made this 11-fight deal for $365 million. But there's incentives based on subscriber growth at DAZN. But then the question will be, how do you know whether they came for him? And that could lead to arguments and legal issues later. Unless it's just a pure number that he has, like it says, you know, but that's not fair to DAZN either. Let's just say, for example, you know, they told him, if we go to 100,000 subscribers, do a 500,000 for each subscriber, you get $10. Let's just say that's the model. But what happens if DAZN then gets the NFL? You know, why should Canelo then benefit from them acquiring the NFL? So it gets kind of tricky sometimes to pinpoint who is the reason. And that was Howard's thing with SiriusXM too. When he came there, he had a model and they actually acquired, you know, at the time Sirius acquired XM, and he kind of said, hey, it was partially from my being here that you guys became the biggest and could acquire them. And they said, well, no, we bought those. It has nothing to do with you. So it gets tricky from an incentive models, those types of things.
Do you like what they're doing? Have you looked into their funding? Like, that is a lot of money to be splashing out these last few months.
And with Bellator and Combate, they did as well. You take a look at what they're doing.
Joshua?
Yeah. I mean, again, I've chatted with those folks a couple times, I think.
With DAZN?
Yeah. I mean, I try to know everybody in the business. It's what I do for a living. I try. And their model, I mean, again, it's one of those like 1FC, too. You take a look at their stuff, and, you know, Bloody Elbow actually did a really good piece on 1FC yesterday or the day before on their finances and everything else. It's worth a read. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say that type of stuff on Junkie.
Say it.
But read through it. It's a 10-page analysis of their finances that came through financial disclosure documents in Singapore. And so you read their press releases, which say one thing, but then you take a look at the numbers and you're like, well, those don't add up to me, at least as a finance guy. DAZN, again, either they are going to be, the largest sporting service and OTT provider, or they'll be out of business in 5 years, you know, or less, because they're gambling on it all. They're putting everything in there to say, we want to be the biggest, baddest, and we'll pay for it. And that either ends up like you're the UFC or you're Affliction.
I heard the UFC Fight Pass made a run at Canelo, too. I just don't know if that's true or not. Do you know?
I don't know. That would have been big money.
I know.
I mean, I don't think that would have benefited. But again, the question is, like you're talking about, if you could sell 2 million pay-per-views at $50 or $100 and, you know, whatever the number is, then DAZN's deal looks cheap, you know, for Canelo. So you're just kind of wondering, unless he's going to have like that fight, I think he has at Madison Square Garden. No, in
December.
Yeah, it doesn't look like the roughest fight for Canelo. But let's just say he gets Floyd Mayweather. I wonder if the deal has outs to do pay-per-view on top of it. That DAZN owns the pay-per-view, and you have to watch through DAZN. Maybe they're again. I don't.
It remains to be seen the next Canelo fight. How this thing will go, and not just the next fight, but the next big fight.
And can Canelo command that on pay-per-view? I don't. Again, we could have another discussion. Does Canelo do 2 million buys without a Triple G, without a Floyd Mayweather, without that opponent?
No, but he had. But traditionally, he was always on the uptrend.
Yep.
You know. All right, we got to take this break. You're listening to MMA Junkie Radio on SiriusXM, Fight Nation Channel 93. Stay close. We'll be right back. We have Andrew Simon from Access TV Fights here in studio with us.
Sound good to me. This sound hard. Something funky people gonna dance to.
They are the stretch marks on the underbelly of the MMA community. But hey, stretch marks are the new tats. They are Gorgeous George and Goes.
Week 7 in fantasy football starts tonight, and Fantasy Sports Radio is helping you win. Listen to the best fantasy football experts analyze tonight's Broncos-Cardinals game and all this week's matchups from the fantasy football perspective. Find out which players you need in your starting lineup and learn strategy on how to handle four NFL teams taking the week off and the early Sunday game from London, England. It's nonstop fantasy football talk 24 hours a day on Fantasy Sports Radio, Sirius 210, XM 87, streaming on your phone, or at home on SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. It's so funny, Gus.
I Googled Andrew Simon Getty Images, and literally the first thing that came up was the picture that we used.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome.
I remember you saying it, and I thought we actually, I think it was Morgan or somebody, it was a few years ago, we took the next pick. So
There's got to be a good photo of us here one day or something.
I have one of him here, like just doing the
and
show.
And I'm sure we look great. I mean, when we're on the show.
How can we not?
Put it this way. I'm in here every day, and the only reason why the photo got changed to our header is because I changed it. I just changed it to an old photo. I don't know if you guys even noticed that.
I got tired of it. When I was wearing a jacket?
This is before. You know when we do gangster poses every time? This is why I'm not a fan of them too much. One, because I look terrible no matter how gangster I try to look with glasses or without. So it's always the worst one, especially with glasses. But two, this was before like George made it a regular thing. So we did like a photo shoot specifically for the Twitter. And at the end, I don't even think he posed it as a gangster. It has two kind of like a funny pose. And I was like, oh, okay, they're not going to use this one. And I make this funny face. But you guys kind of had like a serious face. Like, they still look passable, and you guys look good. And I look like I'm trying to do something completely different on my face. And which one did they use, Andrew? Like girls being sly in their social media. Like, it's my friend's birthday, so I'm going to post a photo with me and her, even though I'm the one that looks good in it and she looks bad, but it's for her birthday. But really, this is just for my social media feed. Not that that was your guys' intention, but yeah. I look really silly there. People ask, like, why are you making that funny face? Like, why are you doing something completely different? Like, it felt like a gag, so.
I've noticed sometimes a lot of our guests, they won't do a middle finger, a gang sign, a fist. They'll just stand there and not smile, and that's good enough, like a frown.
The guests do really well with it, surprisingly. Like, they do way better than me.
Edson was good the other day.
I just look surprised.
But he's a gangster.
It's
true. They're all gangsters. Yeah. Maybe that's why I don't pass the test, maybe. But
I have to do a fist, make a face, and everything.
Dude, I'm half Asian and I wear glasses. I'm not saying that to despise a race, but let's be honest. We don't get the best stereotypes. I certainly don't get an intimidating one. You know what I'm saying? Like, even with the tattoos and even when I was quote unquote in shape and competing, I'm the first guy you want to mess with in the room at all times. It's something I'm used to.
I'm not commenting on any of that, so
especially not on Black and White Cookie Day.
Yeah,
right?
Thank you again for that.
It's Black and White Cookie Day, so
he changed the game with that cookie.
Again, it's a game changer. George had never had a black and white cookie, and on top of that, now we
got
to go around. Which do we like, black or white?
I like the black side a little bit, just slightly more. They're both good. Yep. In fact, my last bite was right down the middle, and I enjoyed it.
Right down the middle is best, but if I had to pick one, I've always been a chocolate guy.
There you go. I think I'd break off the white side. For some reason, I like it. I don't know.
When I have one, I'll let you guys know what
Why don't we pass this down and give them half my cookie? Like,
you didn't want it.
Yeah, you have some. Break some off.
Break some off.
Yeah. All right. I was able to locate John Howard, and, well, BFL did. So what we'll do is we've got this top of the hour break. It's a quick one. When we come back, I think we'll be able to sneak John Howard in before your guest. Did you commit? Did you change things around at all? Or?
No, I think we're good.
We're good? All right. So stay close. You're listening to MMA Junkie Radio on SiriusXM's Fight Nation Channel 93. New name, Fight Nation, no longer Rush. Still Channel 93. You're still laughing your ass off over here, aren't you?
Because the song.
The song. They're playing Black and White. Oh. Michael Jackson.
I thought you were laughing at his picture still.
No, no.
He showed me another.
There's another classic sweaty one from our first show ever in Dallas in 2007.
Can
so
I
if
see
you gotta,
it?
If you want to go back 11
show it to
years.
Me during the break.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
We'll be right back, folks. No matter what you do in the bathroom to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. They have amazing shower stuff, hair styling products, toothbrushes, and toothpaste, and of course, razors and shave supplies.
I use these products every day, George. The Amber and Lavender Body Wash is how I start my morning off. I get my body all nice and smooth, and then I switch over to the Big Cloud Good Shake Hand Cream. I love that stuff. But that's how I get ready. You're not me. You have to have your own way to get ready. You might shave your whole body to get ready for a bike race. Dollar Shave Club's Executive Razor and Shave Butter can help with that. You might do your hair to get ready for a soccer match. Boogies by Dollar Shave Club can help with that. It can get your style on point. The thing is, no matter what you do to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything you need.
And right now, you can get ready with an amazing deal on any one of their starter sets. I recommend the Daily Essentials starter set because I love Amber Lavender Body Cleanser. That's right. I love it. But you can't go wrong with any of them. Head over to the dollarshaveclub.com/junkie to pick up your own DSC starter set for just $5. After your starter set, products ship at a regular price. And make sure you check out their new video, too. That's dollarshaveclub.com/junkie, dollarshaveclub.com/junkie.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to MMA Junkie Radio. I want to take this time to let you know about our producer Danny's show. It's called Poppin' Off, and it airs live twice a week, Wednesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, and Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. You can find the show, if you missed the live show, you can find the recording on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube the following day. Check it out. It's a lot of fun, and you get to see a little bit more of our producer Danny's personality. And my phone just rang in the background, so I'll turn that off because that sounds stupid. Fucking phone.
It's popping off.
In Chesapeake, Virginia, anyone over the age of 12 who's caught trick-or-treating could earn jail time.
We're going to fine people for dressing up on Halloween, which is a dope holiday. But yet, adults can dress up in crazy costumes and come spend a load of money, also known as Comic-Con, and we all love it.
Every single person at Comic-Con could have been fined or gone to jail.
If they walked through and somehow were given a piece of candy, then yeah,
there's something
thank,
wrong.
Thank you.
Watch live on the FNTSY YouTube stream.
And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback. More a solo, but tonight,
don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants, foot suckers in fear, making the tears.
All right, the music's playing.
Like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion. Overpowering, over the competition. I'm towering, wrecking shop. When I drop these lyrics, that'll make you call the cops. Don't you dare stare. You better move. Don't ever compare me to the rest that'll all get sliced and diced. Competition's paying the price. I'm gonna knock you out.
How many fighters have actually used this song in their walkouts?
I know in the UFC earlier days somebody
had
it. Yeah, because
you can
it,
right? be a no name and walk out to this, and the crowd pops. Yeah. And then if you go out there and deliver, you know.
But then wasn't that one UFC that was all it was titled Knockout? Weren't they all decisions? Sometimes it just doesn't go your way, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a bold song, though.
It is. But like Derek Lewis, he's won 21 fights and 18 have been stoppages, so he could walk out to something like this.
Yeah.
Nobody would have a problem with that. Now, not to slight him, but remember Sam Stout? He had the nickname Hands of Stone, but I think it was late in his career when he finally got his first KO win. A Hands of Stone person has to be someone that's piling those up. You know, mm-hmm. Roberto Duran was Hands of Stone, but he had a lot of stoppages.
Love Roberto Duran. I love those fights back in the day.
Yeah. All right, so Danny, I believe, hopefully, if John Howard accepts our apology. Yeah, we're good to go then. We're all set, so let's talk to John Howard fighting at PFL 10. On Saturday night. What's up, John? How you doing?
Good, man. How y'all doing?
Good, my man. Hey, that's my bad. I'm sorry for getting you on a little bit late. So apologies, sir. I know that you guys are closing in on having to make weight and all that, so hopefully this doesn't trip you up too much.
Oh, no, it's not good, man. I'm pretty good at weight. I only got about, like, 10 pounds, if even that, and I'm good.
Okay. Now, my co-host was telling me that PFL tweeted something out. You have a change of opponent now, right?
Yeah, I was supposed to fight Samir. I can't pronounce his last name. Try Samir. And I guess he got sick or got hurt. Something happened, and Eddie Gordon took his place as the alternate. And
Eddie Gordon
for taking his place, man. That kid's a trooper. And he had the opportunity to be in the tournament, so it was awesome, man.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. We already published our video prediction of the middleweight division, the welterweight division, and so I guess this came in afterwards. But okay, so Eddie Gordon steps up. PFL has been pretty prepared. I've noticed they've always had their alternate bouts, and he goes in next. John Howard versus Eddie Gordon. Shamil Gamzatov is out, and how about that? 13-0. This guy, Shamil Gamzatov, two fights away from $1 million. He loses out, but this isn't for everybody. And John, you're still in this, my man. How do you get distracted by the $1 million prize, or has it been an incentive?
It's been definitely an incentive, man. I've been fighting for 14, 15 years now, man. And it's definitely an incentive. I just appreciate it that I'm finally in the sport, you know, getting a big, giant push like this. You know, a lot of MMA fighters, especially my time, I don't get this opportunity. I'm just really honored and proud that I get to experience this opportunity and get a taste of it.
Rick's story was telling us yesterday. He reached 20 fights with the UFC. He said that should he win, his run with the PFL will be more lucrative than his 20-fight run with the UFC. I had to step back a little bit. I realized he didn't win all of them, but, you know, there's show money, win bonus, and those performance bonuses. But he said he did the math, and you know, he was very thankful of the PFL, but he did throw that stat out. Is that something similar for you, John? You've had at least 15 fights in the UFC.
Yeah, I'm 14 fights deep in the UFC, 7-7, and I never, if I make this $1 million, it will be the biggest payday ever. Matter of fact, of all my years of being in the UFC, it would trump the UFC by hundreds of thousands of dollars winning this competition. So, shout out to PFL for this opportunity. I mean, UFC would probably never give me this opportunity. So, me being in PFL, I'm really appreciative to have this opportunity. This is like a big deal for me. You know, so I'm proud to be a part of it.
And at 35 years old, how much did you amp up your training this year? You know, now you had a huge incentive out there. You also know a little bit that the clock's ticking. Although, you know, if you plan on fighting a 40, please let us know. But, you know, once you get to the mid-30s, a lot of fighters start saying those types of things. But were you able to push your body to, you know, limits further than even when you trained in the UFC? Or how did you manage this whole run with regular season and now playoffs?
I was able to push my body a little further now, beginning of the playoffs. In the regular season, I didn't push it as much because I wanted to stay, you know, a healthy space between fights, and the turnover is kind of quick, so you kind of want to have a good fight and have a good turnover. For this fight, especially, I'm fighting two guys in one night. I kind of pushed my cut to the next day, and I feel like I'm in my prime at 35. You know, I do definitely continue to fight if I can, 8 to another 10 years. I mean, I've seen him. You know, check with Delta Inspiration, him coming back in the sport. Tito T, he's still fighting. Mental Gracie coming back at 51, he's fighting. It's relation, and all these guys who said they should have hidden up, man, they're coming back at their age and telling the world age is not my number. It's what your mindset is, and it's relation. And so I feel if they can do it, man, I definitely have this good, strong 10 years left to do it. And call winning, leave everything is all right with injury free. And you know, I could get there. I would definitely do that.
All right, we're going to go in reverse order. Let's go to the fight analyst, Dan Tom. Dan, what do you have for John Doomsday Howard?
Yeah, John, you know, you're talking about training and feeling rejuvenated. It's funny. I'm actually looking at a topic right now, resurgent fighters. And yeah, you can make that argument for yourself, certainly. But let me ask you, I'm looking at your Instagram now, and I'm seeing a lot of you know, other name fighters, from Mickey Gall, newer guys, to more OGs like yourself, like Donald Cerrone. Have you been doing anything different as far as the gyms you're training at or the people you're bringing in for this round?
No, actually, I got real fortunate to train with Mickey Hall and Donald Cerrone. Donald Cerrone, I believe, is doing a movie in Boston. and he was looking for a gym to train at, and I offered my gym. Shout out to FAF Kickboxing, Sean Graham. We offered a space where he could be alone and have some private training, and he came through. And when he came through, we got some crushing. It was just the right perfect time. It was just the universe aligned us up together. And it felt good to train with high world-class champions again, man. And I felt good, man. I felt I belonged with them, man. And, you know, shout out to Mickey Hall. That guy's jiu-jitsu is unbelievable, man. He's a Bravo. I'm a black belt. I couldn't catch him. He couldn't catch me. But we went like an hour, almost 2 hours of grappling with no submission. That kid is unbelievable. But those guys are definitely champions. And iron sharp is iron, you know. And I felt good. I felt like I'm where I belong training-wise. And I'm training with the best guys. So it was a good feeling, man. It was a good reminder of who I'm actually am.
Damn, an hour on the ground. This guy sounds like Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat, these guys. Yeah, that is a long time to be grappling. But anyway, John Howard's our guest here on MMA Junkie Radio. He faces Eddie Gordon in the quarterfinal matchup at PFL 10 on Saturday night. NBC Sports has got you covered with a 9 p.m. Eastern start time, 6 Pacific. Andrew Simon, what do you have for John Howard?
Yeah, John, did you find yourself fighting a little differently in the PFL than UFC with the financial incentives and with the way the tournament works? Did you find yourself fighting differently, and do you think that's a great idea for fighters to have that kind of incentive-based structure?
Yeah, man, you see a lot of guys in the PFL fighting a lot more aggressive, a lot more sensitive, a lot more forward, and try to get $1 million. You know, you see guys a lot more finishes, a lot more action than before, and it's crazy to see that. You know, good. Sorry about that. I had to say hi to somebody. You see a lot more of people trying to go for it. It's good. It's good for the sport, man. You know, people ain't trying to fight as safe, as too safe, and trying to really go for it. And I think that's what the sport needs. You know, fighting for the UFC, a lot of people really fight to save their job, and you fight differently for job security. But now with PFL, because you have a job security and it's expensive for money, now you fight to get money. You know, for that big prize. So now you feel more of like a prize fighter. So that's the feeling that PFL is bringing back to the sport. And that's the thing with the sport, and it's amazing. It's amazing. That's why you see a lot more finishes than ever. And it's going to continue to grow. I believe Saturday night you're going to see crazy fireworks. Definitely for Mayan. I'm getting to that.
Yep. All right. Goes, finish things off here. What do we have for John Howard?
Well, I wanted to start off by saying I'm glad we got him on now, that the NFL season isn't that far deep where he can be talking smack. And basketball season hasn't kicked off, so we can't hear that. So this is the perfect time to book him. Good job, George.
All right.
John, in this short amount of time, what can you possibly do in regards to Eddie Gordon? Is it worth popping in footage? Is it, you know, what things can you do in relation to preparation for him?
To tell you the truth, man, I watch Eddie Gordon. His last two fights, I think he's a real good cat, real good fighter. I just think I have a lot more experience than him. Because I've been doing this sport for a long time, opponent change is not a big deal to me. I'm used to that, you know. So it's not really that I need to pop a video in because I know by watching him, I know what he's capable of. It's more about being ready and be ready to go with anybody. You know, this is a tournament. It's no different because I'm fighting two times in one night. So I really don't know who my next opponent will be. I have an idea, but I don't know. So it's the same concept. You'll be in constant contact with where judgment happens. I just adjust to the situation, so I'm pretty used to that. You know, it doesn't throw no monkey wrench in my game plan. My game plan was to go out there to have two victories Saturday night, and it's still remains the same. You know, maybe a little bit of strategy because it'll drove him, but not too much. My thing is to go in there, do what I want to do, and conquer that whole tournament.
All right, John. So we're getting close to the fight. We'll keep it short for today. I'm glad we were able to catch up. So thank you, as always, for the time you give us here on MMA Junkie Radio. And good luck at PFL 10 on Saturday. We will definitely be tuning in.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right. See you, Doomsday. Take care. That's John Doomsday Howard facing Eddie Gordon in that quarterfinal round. Remember, the winners progressed. It's two times in one night. It was crazy. I was in Long Beach last week for PFL 9, and it was really, really interesting to see these guys come right back out and do their thing. All right, we're going back-to-back, guys. We're switching over to Chris Gutierrez. He will be headlining LFA 52 on Friday night at the Bell County Expo Center in Belton, Texas. I don't even know where Belton, Texas is. I'll have to ask Chris that I know where most of the major cities are, but I never heard of that one. He'll be facing Ray Rodriguez again in the main event, and he joins us now on MMA Junkie Radio. What's up, Chris? How you doing?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
Good, my man. Welcome to MMA Junkie Radio. You're on with George, Goes, and Dan. We also have Andrew Simon from Access TV Fights here with us. Hey, tell me first off, where's Belton, Texas?
I don't even know. And I'm from Texas. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the town that I'm from. I'm from Greenville, Texas. It's a little hole in the wall. You blink and you miss it.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Are you closer to a border wall, or are you closer to Oklahoma, or like, is it north, south, east, west?
It's about an hour from Austin.
Oh, okay.
It's about an hour, I want to say.
That's good enough. Now I have an idea. Chris, I noted that in your amateur career, which, by the way, you had like a dozen fights, you started off 1-2. And I wanted to know, were you ever discouraged, like, hey, this might not be your thing? Because after that, you rattled off about 8 or 9 to finish off your amateur career. And then, obviously, we can see your record as a professional is 11-2-1. Very respectable. But again, things didn't start off well. Do you remember what you were thinking back then?
Yeah, I wasn't fully invested. You know what I mean? I was like, I was playing soccer, and I was, you know, trying to get a scholarship and hopefully, you know, make it in professional soccer. But, you know, I was hanging around the wrong crowd, and, you know, I didn't really believe in myself. And again, I was around the wrong people, and they weren't really supporting me and telling me I wasn't good enough. So it was one of those, you know, that kind of rubbed off in MMA as well. I wasn't believing myself in soccer and as well in fighting. And when I had my back-to-back losses, it wasn't that I was discouraged. I was like, you know, what do I need to change? And it was the fact that I wasn't fully invested. So I just got away from those people and got really committed into fighting. And I fell in love for it, and I found the love for it. And here we are today.
There you go. All right. We're talking to Chris Gutierrez, who headlines LFA 52 on Friday night, Access TV, with a 9 p.m. Eastern start time. It's LFA 52, and his opponent is Ray Rodriguez. All right, Goes. What do you have for Chris Gutierrez? Excuse me.
Chris, we were talking earlier before about a particular song that we were playing. We were saying would be a great walkout song. It's Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J. We were talking about how that would pump up a fighter. And I started to think other fighters that have been on the show, they've talked about certain movies that they watch before a fight or inspirational speeches that they go through. Is there anything outside of the fight world that inspires you that you can take into the cage that night?
Of course, man. I think of my family. You know, I've kind of changed my mindset from me to we. You know, it's much more than just me. And I think that's the biggest factor in this last year, is that I've learned, you know, fighting is a very selfish sport, but, you know, there comes a time when things get hard, and it's got to be, you know, it's got to be more than just about you, you know, and that's what I've done. I've changed my mindset from me to we, and, you know, I do it for the people that really mean the most to me, and the people that supported me and been along the journey with me, you know, like my family, you know, my son, my coaches, my teammates. You know, it's more of those people. I want to succeed for them and to inspire others. You know, that's more importantly, I want to be able to give back, you know, and help motivate other people, not just in fighting, but whatever they want to do. It's more of a, you know, don't let no one deter you from your dream. Anything is possible. Of course, you know, there is going to be hard work and dedication that comes into it, but, you know, let no one take that dream from you.
We're joined by Chris Gutierrez, a.k.a. El Guapo. He's headlining versus Ray Rodriguez at LFA 52 on Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern start time. Goes, I'm sorry, were you done? Did you have another one?
Well, I was just going to ask. I know that you probably have been through the scenario over and over with how this fight is going to end. When you do that, are there multiple scenarios in your head that play out, or is there one finish that you've just been thinking over and over about?
No, you know, it's, you know, that is a question that gets asked a lot. You know, of course, I want to finish the fight, whether it be knockout, TKO, or submissions. You know, I kind of take the fight as it goes. You know, I'm going to push a heavy pace on him. You know, I'm going to attack. You know, any position I get into, I'm going to be attacking. And, you know, I just flow with it. I'm really good at adapting and molding to the fight. So wherever the fight goes, I'm ready for it, and, you know, just stay active, and I'm going to be on them and, you know, set a heavy pace. As far as the finish, no, I mean, I'm looking to finish, you know, one of those three ways. You know, if unfortunately it goes to the decision, I'm going to make sure that I, you know, they see it my way. I'm going to make sure that it goes a complete one-sided fight.
And you have been the benefiter of three split decisions. So, yeah, Chris, I hear what you're saying. I was noting that you've had four in your career. One didn't go your way, but three did go your way. But good on you for doing whatever it took to get that win. All right, Andrew Simon, the Axis TV Fight CEO. He's our co-host for the day. He's got a question for you. What do you have for Chris Gutierrez, Andrew?
Well, Chris also has never been finished as a pro, which is pretty impressive in that many fights. So we're expecting two tough Texans to probably just swing and go crazy out there and have a great fight. But speaking of that, what brought you to go to train at Factory X in Colorado? Why did you finally leave Texas?
That's a different conversation for another time.
Okay.
No, but I can say that you know, my son was a big part of that. You know, like they say, life happens, and it did, and it unfortunately didn't go the way that I thought it was supposed to go. And you know, so I'm here because of my son, but at the same time, the gym that I was at in Greenville, Texas, it closed down, and I was training with my friend Jordan Molina in my garage for like my last two or three fights. And you know, that's when me and Brian Foster became really good friends. You know, that's somebody I look up to. And he was telling me, man, if you want to take your fighting to the next career, you know, to that next step, you need to get a hold of Mark Montoya at Factory X. And you know, I was already on my way moving up here. And you know, I got a hold of Coach, and man, I came into the gym the first day, and man, I fell in love with it. And you know, like Coach said, you know, I can show you how good the gym is, but I'm gonna let you see for yourself. And I did, man. And I love the culture of the gym. I love the spirit in the gym. It's just a very, you know, I feel at home when I go. And that was the main thing, was I was feeling empty all along, and you know, I finally came to this gym and I felt like it's a home. You know, we all care for each other, we all push each other, but at the same time, we're all there for each other. And that's what you want in a gym. You don't just want to go and have a grueling practice all the time and then you're feeling empty inside. You want to go and have a grueling practice, but at the same time afterwards, oh, let's go grab something to eat, you know, let's all hang out. You know, it's a different culture, like, you know, like Coach Mark Montoya says, and it's true. And I fell in love with it, man, and I'm glad I'm here.
And then, do you find anything on the elevation training there that's helped a little bit as you get ready for this fight? I assume a little higher elevation there than Texas. So has that helped you a little bit with your endurance and everything else as you go out there?
Yes, sir, for sure. You'll see on Friday night. No, man, it's – like I said, man, I'm training with monsters every day. It's a kill or be killed atmosphere in there, you know. And, you know, no one in there goes light. It's always a hard, intense pace. And – on top of that, the elevation is always there, you know, and it's so thin oxygen there, and you're just gasping for air, but you're having to push yourself because you don't want to get beat up. And man, it's a really good experience, and I'm glad I'm there. And since I've been there, man, since the year and like couple months that I've been there, man, I'm a complete different fighter. There's little things that I've adapted, you know, from the gym, and I've changed, and it's just making me a complete better fighter, making me more comfortable in every position.
That's great to hear, man. Elevation training's doesn't ever appear to be a bad thing, that's for sure.
No,
even the ones that train there and don't have to train at elevation, they've just spoken wonders of it for many years. All right. Hey, Chris, it's nice to meet you, man. So we'll keep it short. Thank you very much for your time today, and good luck tomorrow night at LFA 52. Yes, go out there and you know, these main event fights, they're really, really high stakes. A lot of fighters have come through the LFA organization, and even going back to LFC and RFA when they were two separate ones, those main event ones have, you know, those main event fights have delivered a lot. So really, man, we wish you the best of luck against Ray Rodriguez.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Okay. Thank you. All right, folks, we're going to take the first commercial of the second hour. You're listening to MMA Junkie Radio on SiriusXM's Fight Nation Channel 93. Stay close, we'll be right back.
Tony, Tony, Tony. And DJ Quick.
They're so fat, they gave Dracula diabetes.
Here are your hosts, Gorgeous George and Goes.
Get the radio channel numbers and a link to listen to your favorite NFL, college football, NBA, or NHL team sent right to your smart device. Just go to SiriusXM.com/sports today. And then click Add to My Calendar. All right, we're going to move on to our last guest of the day. His name is Lewis Taylor, 16-4 overall, also fighting on the PFL card that's coming up here on Saturday, PFL 10. He's gone 2-0 during the regular season. And now he's looking to go 2-0 in one night. He faces off first against Rex Harris. And then, of course, after that, the winner proceeds. As you all know by now, the fighters have to fight twice in one night to reach the finals, which is PFL 11 on December 31st in New York City. There they will be fighting for the $1 million grand prize. Joining us now on the hotline is Lewis Taylor. What's up, Lewis? How you doing?
I am good. I am good out here in D.C. ready for fight night Saturday, October 20th.
Did you check out any of the previous quarterfinals slash semifinal fight cards just to see how it worked out, the pacing, the timing, and all that?
Yeah, I watched both shows, actually. I enjoyed both. It was some great finishes in the first show that really left a good taste in your mouth. In the second show, I think it was the Vinny show, which he just dominated, and he set the bar for all of us.
Right. And along the way, did you learn anything in terms of how you need to prepare should you win in terms of resting and then, rehydrating and then warming up for your second fight? Like, has any info been passed from camp to camp, or have you been able to capture anything just from seeing the guys that had to come out and perform again?
Unfortunately, most of the advice I had got was from the people who lost. And they didn't make it to the second fight. So I'm just going to do me. Cause a lot of it seems like the guys who tried to do this and do that to prepare for the second fight didn't even make it to the second fight. So, and then some of the ones who had different tactics, they still end up fatiguing in the second fight. So, or not performing in the second fight. So I'm just going to do it my way, and I'll see how it goes. And if it works my way, I'll put a little fee, but I'll charge somebody and write a book.
All right, Lewis Taylor, our guest here on MMA Junkie Radio, fighting at PFL 10 on Saturday night. Rex Harris is his first fight. Remember, the fights start on Facebook at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Start Time. Go to facebook.com/live. PFL is very prominent on fight night. You'll be able to see the very clear stream there. And then afterwards, you got to move it over to NBC Sports Network, and that starts at 9 p.m. Eastern Start Time. They'll be fighting from Washington, D.C., the St. Elizabeth's East Entertainment and Sports Arena. Goes, what do you have for Lewis Taylor?
Yeah, and by the way, they also have the app, the PFL Live app, which is, I find it very handy as well. It's a great place to watch both fights. You don't even have to switch channels on that.
There you go. Nice plug.
I didn't know that.
Goes?
Lewis, you were chosen to be on this show for a reason. And it was because you're kind of like our underdog, fly under the radar guy, even though you're the number two seed in this tournament. Have you felt that at all, kind of flying under the radar a little bit? And do you like that?
Yes. I felt it a lot. I'm always overlooked or thought whenever somebody gets the opportunity to choose against me and another fighter, they always go with the other fighter. So I've learned to, take it with a grain of salt, walk with my head up high, and just to handle my business. So I expect for people to consistently think that I'm going to lose. That, I got my age, I have a funky style that a lot of people don't understand. So, but I will say this: I've gotten a lot of more pats on the back now that people had the chance to watch me fight two times so soon, and now they're starting to get it. Like, I'm not as weak as they thought I was.
Right when you're standing in front of your opponent and it's ready to fight, what's that last thing that kind of goes through your mind? Is it always the same? Can you maybe share?
Well, I always think I got to get him before he gets me. If I said I like to make sure I reminded myself to pull the trigger and not being a spectator. That's one of the biggest things you feel in the cage, because sometimes you get that surreal feeling, so you kind of need to get punched to wake up. You kind of need to tussle a little bit to wake up, but you might not have a second chance, you understand? So I can't wait to wake up. I need to force myself to action because you might not get a second chance to be your best. I was glad, and I'm thankful now that in my first fight against Anderson, I actually had the chance to wake up and step up to the plate, and I'm not going to make that mistake again.
All right, let's turn it over to the fight analyst, Dan Tom. Dan, what do you have for Lewis Taylor?
Hey, Lewis. I'm not sure if you watched any tape on Rex Harris. Obviously, you guys have a common opponent. You know, he faced lost a split decision to the guy you just beat, Lobato. But how do you break down Rex Harris as far as the matchup? Do you not try not to think about it? Like you said, you're just in there to do you, or did you look at this guy beforehand?
I mean, I've been saying Rex, you know, we share locker rooms. We like you said, we have common opponents. So I've been aware of Rex and his talents for a while. And he's an anomaly, man. At times he doesn't look great, but he doesn't go away. He's still in the fight. You know, you can't say someone just demolished him or dominated him. And so when you have a guy like that, you just never know. You have to stay sharp. You have to stay ready because you can look at the Lobato fight, which could have went either way, or you can look at the Shamil fight, which, again, Shamil was an undefeated Russian talent who everybody said was going to easily win this tournament, but now he's had to pull out.
Yeah, no doubt. We heard about that yesterday. All right. Our co-host for the day is Andrew Simon from Access TV Fights. Andrew, what do you have for Lewis Taylor?
Well, earlier you said you tried to get advice from everybody who lost, so clearly we're not going that route. But are you fighting this tournament differently than your other 20 fights? Are you looking at it differently, or are you just going, hey, I'm going to fight my normal style? Or are you going, hey, I'm going to try to take advantage of these PFL rules and maximizing throughout the tournament? And especially with the multiple fights in a night, what does that look like to you and how you're going to fight?
Well, the only fight, in a sense, in my mind, you got to make adjustments for is the first fight. The second fight is, if you can make it there without too many bumps and bruises, will play out like a normal fight. So the first fight is the more dangerous fight. It's the fight where you have to win the first round. It's the fight where the first round matters the most, because if it's a draw like you guys seen, then you lose if you didn't win that first round. So for me, the first round of the first fight is the most important, but then beyond that, it kind of starts to get into a normal MMA setting after the second round. If you win that, then you go into the third, you know, which would be your first round of the second fight. So everything else would play out normally. So I'm going to come in for that first round as sharp and as ready to go and try to make sure I win that no matter what.
You need that Corey DeVella stoppage, like something like that. Quick, injury-free, and back to the locker room to chill. You know what I mean?
Yes. I mean, I don't want to – I'm definitely have some tricks I want to pull off, but I also have to prepare myself to go 10 minutes hard. But if I can get that Corey DeVella, I'm up out of there in 29 seconds, and I'll take it.
Yeah, and the first thing we need to find out, too, is if they're using the 2017 rules where that 10-8 gets doled out a little bit easier than in some of the states that haven't adopted it, because you're right. I was at PFL 9, Lewis, and I saw a couple fighters come from behind and win the 10-8 so that the tiebreaker didn't matter. But in the audience, we were all like, whoa, you know, like a lot of people had that confusion. You know, if you don't get there early or if you're not listening to the broadcast, because usually the announcing team will set that up and let you know what they're doing. But a lot of people were, like, in shock, including Dan Spahn. He took a loss to Sean O'Connell. He thought once he got through the second round, hey, I won the first, he won the second, my hand's going to get raised, and he had a nice big surprise for him. So we'll definitely see. I know on my end, I'll be trying to find out in time for tomorrow's show so we can share this with the audience. But I'm sure the fighters will be doing that same due diligence as well.
I'm not trying to be one of those big crybabies like Chris Wade. So if I go out there and make sure I handle my business, then I won't have nothing to cry about.
Well, you have as of late 9 out of 10 wins. Very impressive. Thank you, sir, very much for the time here on the MMA Junkie Radio Show. We always appreciate it. Hope you have a safe week,
guys,
and we'll watch on Saturday night. Handle your business versus, out there, all right? Versus Rex Harris.
Will do,
thank
fellas.
You, my man.
Y'all have a good night. Right. Have a good day.
All right, you too. See ya. All right. So there you have it. Three back-to-back-to-back-to-back. We were able to get Howard in after all. And so now we're going to pay the piper. Let's do our break, and that way we can come back and have a nice run of talking about the latest news, discussing Andrew Simon, his channel. They have lots to offer there, including New Japan Wrestling and tons of mixed martial arts. So stay close. It's the MMA Junkie Radio Show on SiriusXM's Fight Nation, Channel 93. We'll be doing
kicked off the set of The Fast and the Furious for being too loud and too good-looking. Once again, here's gorgeous George and Goes.
Week 7 in fantasy football starts tonight. Fantasy Sports Radio is helping you win. Listen to the best fantasy football experts analyze tonight's Broncos-Cardinals game and all this week's matchups from the fantasy football perspective. Find out which players you need to have in your starting lineup and learn strategy on how to handle all four NFL teams that are taking the week off, as well as that early morning Sunday game from London, England. It's nonstop fantasy football talk 24 hours a day on Fantasy Sports Radio, Sirius 210, XM87, streaming on your phone and at home on connected devices and speakers. All right, let's do the daily debate. I think now's a good time for it. And we'll obviously include our co-host for the day, Andrew Simon, from Access TV Fights. Here we go. Now that Conor McGregor has tried and failed, who do you think has the best shot at beating Khabib Nurmagomedov? Here are your choices, guys. Tony Ferguson, Kevin Lee, Dustin Poirier, or other. And if you choose other, go ahead and state the name and the reason why. Dan Tom?
I've stated many times I think Kevin Lee and Tony Ferguson have the best shot. Dustin Poirier, I could see him right up there too. All worthy names, and the other, I'm interested to see what the listeners put for their others. But it really doesn't matter what you put for other, because Tony Ferguson's is the guy for me. He's been an underdog around plus 250-ish, so the odds makers don't have a lot of faith. The general public don't seem to have a lot of faith in him, but he has, in my opinion, you're splitting hairs, one of the most legitimate win streaks. But more importantly than the win streak, it's his style. He can kind of do everything, he can do it all, and he can outlast. He's used to taking damage. He only gets better as the fight goes on. And even if he does, end up on his back, he's really active from submissions to elbows. Creating scrambles, he's a hard guy to hold down. He makes you work for everything you own in there. I think honestly, Khabib could go down as the most dominant lightweight in UFC history, but Tony Ferguson's the worst matchup for him.
All right, how about you, Andrew Simon? Who do you think?
I think Ferguson 100% is his hardest matchup of that group. And then if we want to go a little heavier, throw Ben Askren in and have a little bit of wrestling with Khabib, and I think Ben Askren. I don't think he gets down to 155, does he, often?
No, he's only at 170. But he's kind of like an undersized 170.
Yeah, I just wondered if he'd cut for the money to get a Khabib fight. And,
maybe they could super fight at 65.
I think he would present a lot of problems, too. It might not be the most exciting fight in the world, and Ben will probably call in and curse me out for that. But I just think he might have a good field day with Khabib. In that wrestling department a little bit and cause some problems. Otherwise, I just think Ferguson, a healthy Ferguson, I'm not sure of the one the other day, would do it yet. I think he needs another fight or two, frankly, to make sure that knee is healed up and he's got the explosiveness and everything he needs. But he did that with not being 100%, in my opinion, with Pettis. But I still think he is the biggest problem for Khabib.
Goes?
Man, seeing those two names booked again would absolutely drive me crazy, but it's the right thing to do, and I think Tony Ferguson is the guy. But it's so crazy that Khabib Nurmagomedov, for as dominant as he is, all of these guys would be a pretty tough matchup for him. And even if you go outside in the other realm, you got your Michael Chandlers, you got your Eddie Alvarez, like every single one of those guys could present a pretty good fight for Khabib. So it's weird to even say that with him being so dominant, but Tony Ferguson, I think, may be that guy.
I'll reveal the stats here. I mean, 5,118 voted, and they're all with you guys. Tony Ferguson, and that's, I mean, the way he looked at UFC 229, how can you not say Tony Ferguson? He was a beast, all right? A lot of us thought that even before UFC 229, but UFC 229 just took him to another level. I do want to make a plug, though, for Kevin Lee. Kevin Lee's been a guy who, when he wasn't even like a top 15 or top 10 guy, he was also throwing out the name Khabib when others weren't. And then after seeing what he can do, put you on your back, that's the interesting thing to me, is how Khabib would be tested there if Kevin were to be able to put him on his back. But the first thing you got to do is stop Khabib's pressure, And you have to deal with all that. And the one thing Ferguson has that Kevin doesn't is just a better gas tank. So I think overall, even though I homer a little bit for Kevin Lee, I think Tony Ferguson's the proper response. Not only should he be next, but he probably does have the best shot at beating Khabib Nurmagomedov. Now, that said, I also think Kevin Lee could take him. All right. Again, 5,118 voted. 75% said Tony Ferguson. 14% said Kevin Lee. 3% said Dustin Poirier. And 8% said others. Others could have been, like what Andrew said, Ben Askren. Or like the interview that we had earlier this week, Michael Chandler. He definitely threw his hat in there as well. But it remains to be seen what will happen with the Nevada State Athletic Commission. And then we'll see who's next for Khabib Nurmagomedov. That's the big mystery as of right now. All right. Thank you very much for listening to the Daily Debate, including Access TV Fights CEO Andrew Simon. Let's take some calls now. We got Sam All Jam, old school fella here on line one. What's up, Sam All Jam? How you doing?
What's good, family? How you guys doing?
Good, man. How about you?
I'm all right. I'm all right, man. And when I say family, that includes in-studio guest, so Andrew Simon. You know, how you doing? Everything's good.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Listen, I just called because I saw that Cormier and Lewis was booked for New York, and I didn't get a chance to read. I was just wondering. I understand that, you know, Derek Lewis or whatever came out of that Volkov fight, quote-unquote, unscathed, but it wasn't like he finished Volkov in the first round. He went, you know, three rounds, you know, albeit with Volkov, and it wasn't like he was doing most of the damage up until the very end. So while I understand that maybe Volkov didn't really hurt him bad or whatever, he did go three rounds and he did get tagged. You know, that's only a couple of weeks away. How do they justify, I guess, his health being good enough to go another, whatever, five rounds now with the heavyweight champion?
Well, we talked about this earlier in the show, and we are all just as vexed as you are.
No.
Yeah, no worries, man. Listen, we talked about it early on. We were all just as vexed. It's even Derek didn't want the fight. Now, Derek did state, hey, hand me an envelope, and if it's a thick one, how can you say no? He's always stated he fights for the money. But I think it was just the UFC put themselves in a position because they have so many shows, and, you know, they have these injuries that happen and these controversies that happen. They just can't seem to keep up. And so they are just plugging and playing. You know, Till and Woodley was last minute as well, if you'll recall, this past September. But with this one, it just doesn't make sense on many fronts. But here we are. I mean, the fight is going to happen.
You know, I'll add something. To quote a recent guest I had on my podcast, Connor Rebush, who works for Bloody Elbow. Another shout to Bloody Elbow there. And he says, I agree with George, first of all, the main reason being the oversaturation, waving that flag as far as the residual effects and how it affects matchmaking. But, and not to come at the matchmakers, but the UFC matchmakers, but it almost feels like, and maybe this is a product, you know, Andrew, when you have too much of a good thing, you have too much nice cars in your garage instead of just one Ferrari to kind of wipe with the diaper, not all of them are going to get the attention. But he says something to the effect of, it feels like almost like the UFC matchmakers with the fighters, like, are like little kids smashing their cars together. Like, oh, this is a cool Hot Wheel. This is a cool Hot Wheel. Bah, bah. Like those kids just playing in their pool of Hot Wheels, and they're just taking different cool-looking ones and smashing them together and not really thinking of the result. You know, the Bohachinia versus Yoel Romero booking, one of the original bookings for UFC 230, the same card, which was early out. This wasn't a last-minute thing. This wasn't talked about a headliner, but that was a perfect matchup for it. It's like, what are we doing? We have a Brazilian star. We're trying to build this guy up. We're going to throw him against the most dangerous guy in the division, and the most dangerous guy in the division is coming off of two big losses where he didn't make weight and just got title fights. Losing, not making weight, losing title fights on the big stage all require you to have some type of pick-me-back-up fight, even to the UFC standards, which, to not their fault in MMA, there's not really that pick-me-up fight like we have in boxing, but we have our versions of that, and they're not even getting that. So, sorry to kind of diatribe or sidetrack, and maybe that's not even the point you're trying to make,
Sam. That's an excellent point you're making, Dan. It's an excellent point you're making. And I won't extend the call any further since I heard George say there are other callers. I'll just say the Knicks won their opening last night, so I'll be watching it gently, George, and goes to see how your Lakers do this.
They scored a lot of points, too. They, like 133, right, or something like that?
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's listen, they played the Atlanta Hawks, so I'm not getting crazy, all right? So I understand it's one game. It was the Hawks.
Is that Porzingis guy back?
No, that's the thing. They played without Porzingis, so they played a different style of ball. You know what I'm saying? They were running up and down like crazy. So obviously the game will change a little when he does come back. But I'll take it for now, and I'll be watching intently tonight to see how your Lakers do. So, all right, family?
All right, my man. Thanks for the call.
All right, Cool.
I have a comment on that.
Sure.
Like, I was just thinking through kind of a crazy scenario, George. Like, so think about that. They have Cormier and Lewis fight, and you had that Brock Lesnar matchup going. So let's just say, hey, Cormier now gets beat by Derek Lewis with a knockout. Then Brock Lesnar could become the UFC heavyweight champion again because he probably could beat Derek Lewis.
He possibly could.
He possibly could wrestle.
We went through these scenarios.
Oh, my God.
And maybe Jones all of a sudden gets the Lesnar fight. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Brock would come
back one
more time.
And let's not forget Stipe Miocic. He had a decent case. Even though he got finished, he had a decent case in terms of he had the title defenses.
But that doesn't make money. It's going to be – I mean, but if that happened, you have Brock having a shot at the title one more time against somebody he possibly could beat.
That's scary if they
go unbelievable. I mean, Brock doesn't beat Cormier. We all know that. He doesn't beat Cormier if Cormier's healthy.
But, see, it's tough to say that under the scenario of Lewis just beat Cormier. A lot of people feel like Lewis doesn't have a chance. But he does have a puncher's chance. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Lewis has a better chance than Lesnar.
I'm just thinking that once again, Brock may come in
Lesnar
one more
time. Lesnar hasn't fought since 2011, right?
No, 2016, UFC 200.
Oh, duh. Yeah, against Hunt. Okay. Ray in San Antonio, what's up, buddy?
Hey, man, how's it going? Haven't talked to you in a while.
Ray.
What's up, player?
Hey, that guy, I don't know where Belton, Texas is. It's like 2 hours north of San Antonio. Yeah, it's like 1 hour north of Austin. Going up to Waco, like Tyler and all that. But
he was able to figure it out.
Yeah, and he's probably not going to really know where he's at when Ray gets his hands on him, probably, you know?
Ooh,
so that's probably what's going to probably happen. I'm just saying, I'm a homer, you know?
Now that I think about it, I don't know where a lot of cities in California is, especially in the north and
Well, you're
California.
A 49ers fan, George. That's expected.
These are big states. Damn, what's this guy doing a set?
Yeah.
You're probably like too busy on the side of Kaepernick kneeling down with him and stuff. You know, I don't know what y'all playing for or what, but you know what I'm saying. But
good to have you back, Ray.
Hey, Andrew, I got a question for you, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'm kind of lost here on this Access TV thing. You've been with them since way back in the HD Net days, right?
Correct.
Fight Net or something like that back in the day?
Yeah, HD now, Net the other, since 2007 for me.
Okay. A while back, I've kind of fallen off with keeping up with promotions and the fights on TV and stuff like that. I try to DVR as much as I can, but... Access does not – it's Paramount now? I mean, could you explain that situation there? I mean, I'm kind of confused there on what happened there.
All right. Let me help you out. HD Net was a network founded by Mark Cuban. We took on some investment from AEG, CAA, and different folks along the way, and we became Access TV, I'd say, roughly 5 years ago. What you're thinking of is Spike TV became Paramount. So Bellator was on Spike, and that became Paramount. Completely different TV network than us. So we have been Access TV for 4 or 5 years. You know, you can catch us on almost every Friday night. We have events all the time, and you just got to tune in then and watch.
All right, man. Well, that clears that up for me being a dummy. But all right, I appreciate that. Thanks for taking the calls, and I just called to butt your balls, George, because how about those 49ers? Bye.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's right. He's a Packers fan. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, they played well, but they lost. All right, Andrew Simon. What you were telling us about WOW debuting.
Yeah.
So how many shows do you expect them to be? Because you guys rotate CES, LFA, New Japan. Will they be part of like a certain rotation or do you plan on expanding your coverage of combat sports?
Yeah, we are starting WOW on January 18th on the network. We'll come back with a new season on Access TV. With our lineup of WOW and New Japan and fights on January 18th. So, you know, we're going to see how that run goes and hopefully people tune in and then maybe WOW becomes part of a weekly piece on Access TV with New Japan and fights. So we're looking to really make Friday nights pretty busy to start with on Access TV.
Who are the commentators for WOW?
David David McLean, who was the original founder of GLOW, which is now the Netflix series, taking a look at what he did back in the 80s here also at the Riviera way back. They used to shoot it over here. So David McLean is one of the commentators along with Stephen Dickey. And then a female who went by her wrestling name of Easy Rider. I don't know her real name, but that was her wrestling name back in the day. And apparently she was engaged to Andrew Dice Clay, I learned. So she is a foul comic.
God.
Do you know who
what?
I'm talking about?
She was part of the roast that we had with Elvis Johnson. That was her.
Oh,
yeah. I forgot about that girl.
Yeah, because she was like the warm-up to get the crowd going before the show and did a little bit on commentary. So the three of them are the hosts doing the commentating
like
on WoW.
Me.
She didn't like you? She is a mean-spirited comic, so I could see her with Dice Clay back in the day. So, yes, but that's all coming back to Access, and right now it's a... You know, JR and Josh have been doing all the calls on New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Which is a hit.
A huge hit.
Yeah,
huge.
Right. Well, thank you very much for stopping by to co-host today. Again, tomorrow night, LFA 52 on Access TV. It's channel 340 if you have DirecTV like Goz and I. Otherwise, check your cable and satellite listings. Ray Rodriguez versus Chris Gutierrez is your main event. So check it out, 9 p.m. Eastern Start Time. Thanks again for co-hosting. Thank you to Luis. Sorry, I fell for that too. Luis Taylor, John Howard, and Chris Gutierrez were our other guests. Tomorrow we'll be joined by Boss Rudin. So we look forward to talking to you then. For Danny back east, Dan, Andrew, and Goz, I'm George. Have a nice day. Go out there and be a champion. I wouldn't sleep a minute away. Oh, there's blackjack and poker and